Well, grab your partner and have a seat. We'll be talking about relationships for the next half hour or so. Our guest calls his program for maintenance and rehabilitation relationship magic, but the steps within the program clearly recognize that there's more than waving a magic wand to making a relationship work better. Our guest in the studio is Guy Finley, who is the founder and director of the Life of Learning Foundation near Grants Pass. The foundation describes itself as a self-realization school. He's the author of several books, including The Secret of Letting Go. Welcome back to The Exchange, Guy Finley.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
So you had to let go yourself, I understand, working in the music business as a composer and a performer. Was there a moment when you said, that's it, I'm out?
Actually, there was a number of those moments, but all of them have a similar theme, which connects with all of the things that we talk about with relationships. And simply put, it's the crowning moment is I'm sitting at a place called the Roxy in Hollywood, California. A song that I wrote is being performed as the single release for Billy Preston's new album. And he's up there starting to perform it. And while he's on stage, the microphone starts to sink into the stage, and he's lowering his head to follow it down. And I'm sitting with a bevy of celebrities, and I remember sitting there getting sick to my stomach and sweating because it felt like my life was being stolen from me. And that's at the root of all of our problems, in a way, Jeffrey, is a kind of a sense of ourself that gets deeply involved in something we're so identified with that we don't think to ourselves, geez, I'm not this song. I'm not this moment. I am something that this moment is revealing. But to give myself away like that is to lose my life. And that's what happens in so many of our relationships. We enter into a relationship based on a certain set of false beliefs. And one of those false beliefs is that you are responsible for my happiness. Because when we first met, you turned me on in such a way that I felt, God, this is it. This is everything. And then that luster begins to fade as the physical attraction and the other perks begin to disappear. And now I begin to look at you as someone who, instead of making me happy, is who is making me unhappy. And that's where you start to get resentment building into relationships and a host of other problems that basically create pain and then tear the thing apart.
How did you get to the point of talking about relationships, going from Hollywood composer, producer to this? I mean, when you move to the hills of Oregon and set up a foundation.
Jeffrey, I've been writing books for almost 35 years. I mean, all of my material is about the interior life of a person. What's actually going on inside of a person's heart? What is the nature of real relationship, not just with each other, but with life, so that it's not a far leap from taking this more interior, spiritual view of oneself into how do I apply this into real life? Because I always say, if you can't apply a spiritual principle to a practical moment, then that principle isn't valid. We want things that work inwardly so that we can observe them and then apply them to our lives outside.
So what kinds of spiritual practices inform your work? I mean, on a range from Buddhism to Catholicism, and maybe that isn't even, you know, a different set of poles or something, but somewhere in there, a lot of different things, it seems like, have gotten into your work.
I am certainly, I've traveled around the world a couple times. When I left the music business, when I quit, I couldn't get rid of a feeling that I had that something was missing. Everybody has that feeling. He's smiling. You know it. We all have that feeling. That dissatisfaction usually drives us into some kind of disparaging action. But when we can understand the nature of that dissatisfaction, we can begin to use it to guide us into, and listen to this, the relationship with life that dissatisfaction is trying to show us we don't have. So that when we wind up looking to other people to complete us, We are looking at the wrong relationship, which is why it turns into a stress point, an anger, and a fear point. Because the individuals in our lives, and this is much to the point of the question, everyone is a mirror for us, Jeffrey. That's what life is. You are a mirror for me as I'm sitting here. Not that you look like me, which you're probably glad about, but that as I look at you, I'm receiving all kinds of impressions. I can see moments of interest. I can see moments where your mind has to go to other business. Every last thing that you're expressing, I feel inside of myself. If I don't know that I'm feeling this inside of myself, and then I start to get anxious because I think something's wrong, then I begin to predicate my behavior on a reaction that has no basis. The revelation is inherent in relationship. Said otherwise, relationships are for revelation. When we can use relationships with others for the revelation of ourself, then we can begin to get past this false belief that others are responsible for my happiness.
So just in terms of steps here, I mean, can you fix yourself in a relationship, or do you have to fix yourself first and then get into a relationship?
That's the beauty of it. That's what I'm talking. That's what my seminar is going to be about. We can use our relationships to repair ourselves and make possible the reparation in the relationship at the same time. But if I don't, how do I say that? If I don't go through a certain natural integration inside of myself as a result of what is revealed to me about myself, there's no chance the relationship's going to get better, because I'm going to keep looking at you as the one responsible for my negative reactions. You are not responsible for my negative reaction. You are revealing to me the part of myself sitting there with an unconscious demand upon you. Can you see the difference in that? When we're with people, we don't know that there's a whole host of demands that we have that are unconscious to us. For instance, I grew up and maybe I was disrespected as a boy. So I walk into every relationship without knowing that if you don't treat me with a certain accord, I'm going to get negative. But you don't cause the negativity in me. You reveal the part of me that is divided in such a way that I find you as responsible for the darkness, the unconscious part of myself.
So we recreate our old stuff when we meet new
people. Yes, exactly, which is something else we're going to talk about in this relationship series. We don't understand the dynamic of these painful patterns because they produce the illusion that the other person is responsible for generating it. And they're not. They're revealing the proclivity we have to get caught up in that pain again.
Much more to talk about with Guy Finley and relationships when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us as well. Back with Guy Finley and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Guy Finley, the founder and director of the Life of Learning Foundation near Grants Pass. It's a self-realization school. He's written several books, including The Secret of Letting Go. He's also spent some time talking about relationships and has a relationship seminar coming up called Relationship Magic. We'll talk about specifics further down, but we're talking about some of the components of the program now. How do we get into relationships? How do we get through relationships? How do we get into relationships further and make them better is perhaps the best way to phrase all that. It's not magic. It's a lot of work, despite the title of the seminar. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You had just talked about the idea, and I think many people can relate to this. It's like, well, boy, that person just made me feel a certain way. Well, no, they didn't. You bring a lot of stuff into this that reminds you of previous relationships. So are we often working out stuff with our birth families, with the people that we meet once we've moved on?
All of that experience that was never properly ingested travels with us. And then it becomes, if you will, the perceiver of the relationship. So that most of the time, we are actually in relationship with people while holding them in a certain set of unconscious constraints that we're not aware of until they start pulling or pushing, and then suddenly we close down on them thinking that they've pushed the boundaries. They have not pushed the boundaries. They've revealed them to us. And to this point, because you said it's a lot of work, there's no magic in it, you're right, but there is a kind of magic in it, and the magic is this. When I actually can understand, Jeffrey, that every relationship I'm in with any human being anywhere in the world is serving to help me discover something deeper and truer about myself, then I stop resisting those revelations even when they are unwanted ones. one of the things that I'm going to talk about in this series of talks is we know and love when people love us and we love them because we have similarities and we enjoy the camaraderie of that. But what if I could learn to use the differences that I have between myself and my family, my mother, my loved one, so that the differences become a driving factor to deepen our relationship because I am helping, I am growing through the discovery of where I'm holding you responsible for something you're not. I mean, that's fantastic when you can get your mind around it. To understand there's no moment with another human being that cannot further liberate you and in turn liberate them to be a truer person themselves.
Are we naturally bad at relationships?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No. But this is, see, yeah, I knew we'd, I wish we had hours. Why are we drawn to relationships to begin with?
As Woody Allen said, we need the eggs.
No, yeah. We're drawn to relationships because it is through you that I discover myself. If I wasn't with you right now, there'd be no way that I would be aware of certain feelings. You are helping me see and feel parts of myself I don't otherwise. So I'm drawn to a relationship because it is a process of discovering unconscious parts of myself that appear in your presence, in the presence of the one I love. That's why we love people, because they bring out of us wonderful feelings that we don't ordinarily know until we're with that person. The contrast to that, and what I was talking about differences, is the same applies on what we would call the negative side. But it's not negative when you recognize that this person is helping me realize some of this baggage that I brought with me into the relationship, and I should thank them for letting me get rid of the bag instead of blaming them for its weight.
Guy Finley is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about relationships. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Julie in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Guy Finley.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Guy Finney. I have heard of you through a therapist that I listened to on another show. And anyway, I want to thank you for your work and ask you if you would possibly consider going back to Hollywood and writing a screenplay from these teachings that has a different formula than the ones that the culture teaches us now,
yeah.
Which basically teaches us to fail because at the end of the movie, we don't see any real resolution or any real tools
You must be prescient because the next book that I'm going to write is going to be my first novel that I'm not going back to Hollywood to write, but that when I'm done with it, because of its nature, it may be something that my old group can turn into a film. We'll see.
Okay, so the other question I had about relationships, the first was whether we're naturally bad at them. Second, does there need to be a spiritual component to relationships for them to be successful?
The short answer is yes, there does, but we don't even need to call it spiritual. In the end, what's more natural than a human being beginning to awaken to where they are hurting themselves without knowing it? What ruins relationships, Jeffrey? We would say the other person. It's never me. Have you noticed yet?
Except for the people who say it's not you, it's me.
Well, that's because they're breaking up with you.
Right.
No, we listen to how simple this is. We don't understand our pain. We really don't.
Our own pain. Which makes us really lousy at understanding other people.
Yes. Another view, something I'm going to cover in the talks. What if I actually understood that my pain is not more important than yours? So that when you are upset with me or you're negative, you know, you wake up with your husband, your wife, and suddenly there's a grouch on the other side, to understand that this is a condition that you have unknowingly embraced, but I'm not going to embrace it in spite of the pain that you are making me aware of in myself. You're in pain. The buck stops here. You know, have you ever gone out to dinner with people and said, let me get this one?
Yeah.
Rare, but have you ever done it? With God as my witness, we can learn in a relationship moment when someone is unkind, something goes wrong, to say inwardly, let me get this one. I will allow the negativity that you're feeling, that you stir in me, to stop right here. because I will give up this part of myself that wants to be the continuation of conflict. No conscious human being would agree to be the continuation of a conflict, which means I have to be awake. I have to be aware. And we can say that's the spiritual element, but I say it's a natural element to human beings that has been lost in the unnatural pursuit of getting others to provide for us a sense of self that never satisfies.
So you have to, first of all, take some of the best advice I ever heard about relationships, which is don't both be mad at the same time. But then how much work does it take? And this is where it's work leading to the magic,
yes,
eventually. But how much work does it take for the person who is not the one in pain at the moment to be able to listen, to just listen and not respond? That's a tricky thing for a lot of people, isn't it?
It begins with learning what it means to be passive to your own negative reaction. And the only way it's possible to be passive to your own negative reaction to what that other person's laying down is to realize that if I embrace that reaction, I am agreeing to hurt myself through that identification. And if I'm conscious, if I'm aware, I'm not going to grab onto a hot coal. I'm going to realize that what I'm experiencing in this moment is a reverberation, a reflection of your consciousness, and I will agree to see this in myself without becoming identified with it, Jeffrey. Then it rises up, it appears as a mechanical reaction that it is, and then it disappears as a mechanical reaction if I don't resist it. What we resist persists, including our own negative reactions.
How much have you pulled in other people's work, like maybe Harville Hendricks or any one of the other people who've written about relationships over the years? Is this all stuff that you've pulled up from the depths of your own soul?
Or no, yeah, I hate to say it. I've never read a specific book on relationships, not even in the old days with the humans from Mars and Venus or whatever all that was, you know. That's not my interest. My interest is the root of relationship. What does it mean to be actually in this moment in relationship with the world outside of me and what it is revealing inside of me? Because when you can put those two things together, something exists that is broader than what we see as our life outside or what we take as our reactions inside. Another order, the first relationship, Jeffrey, I would call it. And if we can learn that first relationship through an awareness of being in the present moment, religious groups would say practicing the presence of the divine. If I can practice the presence of this moment, then in that presence, I can't punish myself. I will see where parts of me from the past want to reproduce a pattern. I can see that you are helping me discover something about myself and not blame you for the darkness that your actions produce. All of that in the first relationship. Then I have a true basis by which to be in relationship with everyone and anything around me.
The word presence can flip a couple different ways. Are we talking about the presence of some other? Are we talking about our own presence in the moment?
They're the same thing.
Really?
You cannot separate what you are aware of in the moment from the self that has that awareness. We cannot separate what we are aware of in the moment from the self that has that awareness. That's the relationship, see? So if I'm there with that, what I call the presence moment, this intersection where everything is coming in as an impression, and I'm receiving the impression, but I'm conscious of them and involved in them instead of trying to grab some and push others away.
Guy Finley is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's talking about his program, Relationship Magic. We'll be talking about Fermentation Magic with Sandor Katz after the next break. But you can join Guy Finley here and now at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. When we talk about dealing with our old stuff, you know, healing the past, or at least coming to grips with things that remain unhealed from the past, hurts.
Yes.
I mean, so how much of working through a successful relationship in the present is going to involve looking back at what happened in the past?
Well, see, that's kind of the point, isn't it? If I don't allow you to be who and what you are in this moment so that you can see yourself as you are, how are you ever going to change? Meaning that if I look at a moment and I have a hurt with somebody, we all know that the tendency, once we've been hurt, is to see that person through a kind of semi-skeptical eye. You know, you're doing it again. There it is. Why? And that very mindset comes into the present moment out of the past. So I'm literally trying to keep you, without knowing it, in the very pattern that I say is punishing me, to let you have space to be what you are by agreeing not to close you off into a fear that I have of a negative reaction. Lets me change because I'm not recreating the pattern, and it makes room for you to be who you are. You can never be yourself if you spend your time trying to please others. It's impossible.
Well, I can tell you from the experience of the me of 35 years ago, when you're faced with the potential departure of the relationship partner, you grab harder. At least I did.
That's exactly right.
Which is a hard thing to overcome, or at least it was for me.
Because we believe that who and what we are depends entirely upon what we have become identified with. Without you, I'm nothing. See, that's what jealousy is, isn't it, Jeffrey? Without you, I'm nothing. So if you wander, you are threatening my existence. So it moves out of the idea of I'm in relationship with another person into who and what I am can't live without you, and that's absolutely nonsense. In fact, you can even prove it to the listeners, because after you go through that, the horror of it, you come out on the other side realizing in some ways this was a pretty good thing that happened to me, because I'm not the same human being I was before.
All right, so this intrigues me, that the statement that there's one great mistake that steals your chance for meaningful connection. What is that great mistake? I'm not giving the whole seminar here. I understand that.
Yeah. it is that we don't understand the purpose of our relationships, Jeffrey. If I think the purpose of my relationship with you, with anyone else, is to prove to myself that I am what I believe myself to be. On one hand, you do a good job of helping me, but the moment you look the other way or don't look at me the way I want to be looked at, I'm threatened. So I'm actually threatened by my insistence that you see me and treat me in a certain way. But I don't see the flip side of it. I know we're running out of time, and this is a little deep, but I have to do it. There's a passage in Scripture that says that you cannot serve two masters. You'll love one and despise the other. The two masters are not two separate things. They are the master is desire. And whatever I want, I also don't want, Jeffrey. If I want something, I don't want anything that interferes with it. And if I don't want something, it's because I do want something. So it's actually one state inside of ourselves that is divided into two that we don't know. So that if I want you to love me, I live in fear that you won't. If I don't want you to go out on behind my back, I am secretly wanting to find you doing that so I can validate that sense of myself. It's very deep, but it's very clear once one understands this relationship that we live in first within ourselves, that then is applied to everyone around us.
Given the blossoming in neuroscience, and it seems like we talk to somebody at least once a week who talks about neuroscience, yeah, and functional MRIs, yeah, and how the brain works and all that stuff, we have new understandings of the brain. Given that, are there any recent revisions to your program?
I'm also not a student of neurology, of brain science, but I do understand the following. We receive from life the way we perceive it. Our experience of any given moment cannot be separated from the way in which this organization that we call ourselves goes through life. Until we change this organization within ourselves, we cannot change the experience it brings, and we of ourselves cannot change ourselves. We can only agree to see what needs to be changed in us, and then allow an intelligence that can't act against itself to get in there and start doing the rewiring, which it does unfailingly.
So if people are concerned, I mean, they're interested in what you're saying about relationships, but they're thinking, I don't know, I don't want to get a whole bunch of religion stuff laid on me. I mean, how much of any component of religion or spirituality is there in there?
And I know that I use some scripture, but nothing that I talk about is religion in the common sense of the word. Mechanical religion has ruined a lot of relationships. I mean, destroyed them before they began. And I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but you can be assured that everything that I'm going to talk about or ever talk about can be proven on the spot within yourself, and no belief is necessary. None.
So can people, is this an in-person thing, your upcoming set of seminars, or is it looks like it's webinar two?
Yes, these are going to be three live events starting this coming Sunday, the following Sunday, and the Sunday after. But they're going to be live streamed. And the webinar that follows the last of the seminars is also going to be live streamed. So if you go to myrelationshipmagic.org, myrelationshipmagic.org, you can find out all the information, because the events will be filmed, videoed, and archived. So you don't have to be there in person. You're invited to come be in person, but you can experience the entire set of talks and the webinar in person, so to speak.
Guy Finley is the founder and director of the Life of Learning Foundation near Grants Pass. Guy, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us again on The Exchange.
Thanks again. MyRelationshipMagic.org or GuyFinley.org.
Okay, thanks so much.